been praying, and then the things have been going on around, especially after the thing up in Tennessee yesterday, just broke my heart today as the mainstream media jumped all over Christianity being the problem to cause what happened, because that girl was brainwashed into Christianity. The 16th chapter of the book of Romans, if you have your Bibles there and you look at it, starts off with just a whole bunch of names. Starts talking about people. It's one of the overlooked chapters in the Word of God. And the reason it's overlooked, because we do just like we do in the Old Testament. We get over there, start our Bible reading in the early part of the year, and we say, oh, no Bible reading again. I'm going to read all these names and all these genealogies. And that's all we do. We read them. And we put them up by, and we say, I believe the Bible is the whole Word of God, and every word is inspired, and every part of it is important for me. But why do I have all these names in here? Why did God do that? Because they have a reason. And there's things that we can learn from each and every one of them. And there's parts of Romans 16 that just thrill and bless my heart. And I want to just share a few of them with you tonight. And I believe it will bless you together, because Paul's written this wonderful book. The book of Romans is a doctrinal book of the New Testament. It's the book that gets you on your feet and gets you settled with what you believe. And it helps you. And when he gets to the end, and the Holy Spirit of God is done with the Apostle Paul, he starts naming people, and he names them for a reason. And I think I can give you that reason tonight, so let's just have a short word of prayer, and I want you to look at it with me just for a few minutes tonight. Father, Lord, as we look at your word, and we think of how wonderfully well you put it together, and how we're even studying right now why it was put together in the Bible that we have for ourselves, and how holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Lord, show us the wonderful things we can learn from just what you put down for us to have, that we might use it for your honor, for your glory, and we might be blessed tonight, we pray, in your holy name. Amen. It's very easy to overlook certain portions of God's Word. Just easy to overlook. Just, oh, I don't need that. Romans 16 reminds us that there's importance in each and every word for every believer. See, if you read it very carefully, you realize it's just showing us the value of being an ordinary Christian. The value of just being an ordinary believer. It lets you know that God keeps track of everything and everybody. Did you ever wonder if it's really worth it to live for the Lord? Look at verse number one. Verse number one. I commend you unto Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant in the church which is at Centuria. Now he just said, right off the bat, he just simply says that. Did you ever wonder if it's ever worth it in your life to live for the Lord? Do you wonder if the life you have is really real? Well, God thought so much of these people that he put their names down here. And 2,000 years later, on the 29th day of March, 2023, at Bethel Baptist Church, I'm reading their names. They've been in heaven for a long time, but God put their name there because we're going to see something about their name in just a minute. What does a Christian life really mean? Is there a purpose in our life? In Romans 16, this overlooked chapter just answers some of those interesting questions. It's like the genealogy of the Old Testament. What do these people mean? But when you start looking at them, you find out they're important. But remember that Christianity is not a lifestyle. Christianity is a life. We live daily. My wife and I today, we got up and we had some things planned. We came up here to the church, made sure the lights and things were going on, made sure I'd get my computer going, because I'd put this message together weeks ago, but I hadn't printed it out. I just stuck it on my computer. And then a tornado came by. So I got this message stuck in my computer up there, and years gone by, I could maybe had it committed to memory, but I certainly didn't have this committed to memory. And I'm thinking, I'm praying, I'm going all week long, and everything, we get lights on in church here, but we don't have lights on over there. But I called Pastor. He says, don't sweat it, Brother Schmidt. I'm going to have your electricity by Wednesday. Always trust your pastor. Always trust your pastor. And sure enough, Wednesday morning I had electricity, went in there and got this message. But then my printer wouldn't work at home, so I had to go out and buy a new printer. So this message is what God wants for you. There's no doubt about this at all. So we get up and we get to take care of that, and then we go to the gym. Sergeant Jackie makes me go to the gym. And two ladies walk. Do you know every day you're just supposed to be an ordinary Christian? Two little black ladies walked up to me and Jackie. Mr. Schmidt, I haven't seen you around here lately, and you always tell me something about the Lord and tell me something about your life, and I've missed that. Can you tell me something today? And as we sat there this morning in the gym, we ended up with how many ladies around us? 8 or 9 of them listening to me tell them about the things of the Lord. You see, it's a lifestyle. It's not just a lifestyle, it's a life. And it's important that we understand that God understands us and God thinks things about us. It's a life that's bound up in the love of God. And it's bound up in the things that we can do for God each and every day of our life if we just want to be a believer for the Lord and do what God wants us to do. You see, the title of my message is, I'm so glad that I'm a Christian. The title of my message is simply, I'm so very, very glad. And I want to tell you tonight why I'm so very glad that I'm a Christian. That little black lady got to me today, and she says, you just make my day for me, preacher. You tell me about the things that you've done for God all over the world and how God's blessed you all over the world. Well, you know why he's done that? He's simply done that because he's real. He's simply done that because he loves me. He's simply done that because I belong to him. I'll tell you why I love God. Because of the brethren. Verses 1 through verse 16. Do nothing but talk about the brethren. This is just people that didn't make the history books. These are just people that could be counted on and trusted. These are people that God said they're important. Did you know that tonight, as we're sitting in this room, the Holy Spirit of God lives in the heart of everyone that's saved here tonight. And God the Father and God the Son, who very clearly say they keep count of everything, is keeping an account of your life. And if in history, if in eternity, if anybody ever wants to draw up and see something about what you did for God, it's there. Hey, it can't work that way. Every one of you has got these stupid little things called computers. And every one of them has stuff in it you don't even know. And you can turn it off and kill it and do everything with it, and then they can take it and take it to some laboratory somewhere and pull up everything you ever had in that computer, can't they? Well, don't you think God can do the same thing? Don't you think God's got it? He knows what you're doing. He knows what you think. He knows all about you. But look at these people. Look at verses 1 and verse 2. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the Lord of the church, which is at Caesarea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Well, first of all, here's just a person says who is just a servant in the church. I got up here today and I was walking around the church, and nobody's around here. There was no cars, nothing around here, but there were some lights on. And I walked on, there was lights on in the church. So I turned around the corner, and I came in the church, and I heard the vacuum sweeper. I said, oh, Harry's up here vacuuming. But it wasn't Harry. It was Wanda. She was in there vacuuming in church. We forget that, don't we, folks? We forget just what's going on. We forget there's simple people like Phoebe, that was just a servant in the church. A person that just was willing to work and to serve and to do. Last night, I made a telephone call and I said, Uriah, would you call me when you check and see if everything's done up here, if there's electricity? And about 7 o'clock, my telephone rings. Hello, preacher. This is Uriah. I've checked and you've got electricity up there. You can go up there and do it. You see what God's doing? Do you understand what you are? You understand that there's more to God's word than just, he puts people's name in here for a purpose. Look at verse number 4. Look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. There's people, God says, I want you to remember these people. These are people who were helpers even unto death. They were not afraid to even die. Paul says, I want you to know about these folks. They were willing to even die for me. They were willing to do whatever needed to be done. Just simple church people. Just folks like you. Just folks like me. Just folks that nobody cares about. This old world makes fun of them. This old world doesn't see any need for us. But God does. But God cares. And he looks at this. Look at verse number 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Just simple laborers. Just simple people. When I pastored Fairview Baptist Church in Decatur, we had two fellows. One of them was Jim Sparks. The other was O'Neill Proctor. Jim Sparks and O'Neill Proctor, any day of the week, you'd find one of them up there doing something in the church, working in the church. Jim Sparks was the superintendent of the electrical department of Decatur Utilities. He was not just a man, had nothing to do, but he was up there and did that work every day, cleaned the church, worked on the church, fixed anything that needed to be fixed in the church all the time. I never had to worry about that stuff. I pray for my pastor all the time because he hired a goofy old man that can't do anything. But I had a Jim Sparks and an O'Neill Proctor. That's what God's talking about here. People just simply do simple labors there. Look at verse number 7. Salute Andronicus and Juna, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. He says, I even have my fellow prisoners here. Folks have been around for so long, just hanging in there and staying in there. I look around here and I think to myself, you look back and you got folks like Andy and Don, who have been in this church for a long, long time. People like the Misseldines that have been over here forever and ever. They've just been here. We go knocking on doors. Miss Misseldine took care of my child when I was. We run across those people all the time. Yes, we do. They're out there. That's what it's talking about. That's what Romans saying right here. You see, you people are real. You people are worth something. And God knows it. You're just like those ones back there in the early church. And God says, read about me. Read this sometimes and remember. Put yourself in here. Put yourself along when you're reading about these people. These people understood Paul's needs and were willing to work with him and pray with him and be part of his life. And we can do the same to help others, to just reach out, to touch others. We got folks that go out every Saturday and knock on doors for a bus visitation and then go pick up little kids and bring them in here on Sunday. We got folks that teach Sunday school and take care of things and work around things and work and think about you all and care for you all. And I look out there all the time and there's always little notes out there for somebody and little letters for people. They cared for one another. And God says, I remember. And I just want to write it down. Look at verse 8 and verse number 9. Greet Ampilus, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stichius, my beloved. You see, there were people who are beloved. Look around you. Look to your right and look to your left. There's people around here you love, isn't there? There's people around here that you really, really care about. And Paul the Apostle says, God remembers that. And God looks at that and wants to remind us of what a church is, what really belongs to a church. Look at verse number 10. See, I told you I'd get through this book real quick like it's not going to take long. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus, of Aristobulus' household. Look at verse number 10. They were just approved of God. People approved of God. Are you approved of God? Timothy wrote, Paul wrote in Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Are you approved of God? God says these ones are. I just want you to know that. I sometimes get with my dear wife and we're praying, and I said a dumb thing the other day. I think she started to get a club out and beat me. I said, honey, you know, you'd probably get along better without me now. Can't hardly walk and can't do it. She looked at me. I got the look. All you fellas know what I'm talking about, don't you? I got the look. I said, maybe I won't say that anymore. Maybe that'll stay out of my vocabulary. Because you see, there are those that are approved of God. Are you approved of God? And then look at verse 11. It says, salute Herodias, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Remember that they were kinsmen. Yesterday I was at Walmart, and I'm going through Walmart, walking with my wife, having to buy some things, and I see a body go. And he's kind of like this, one of my kind. And I recognized him right off the bat. He's shaking his head right there. I said to Jackie, Jay just walked by over there. So I snuck around, and I got behind him. And he had his cart there by the thing, and I took my cart. He looked, turned around and looked around. And he says, oh, it's you. And he started smiling. You know why? He's my kinsman. He's my kinsman. You see, that's what it's talking about. I sit way over here, and I sit by myself, and I'm not paying attention to things. And Brother Williams, he walk over and walk all the way over here. I need to shake your hand, Brother Schmidt. Brother Ford, sit there and talk to us and say things to us and pray with us. You see, we're kinsmen. And God wants us to see that. We've got a pastor and a pastor's wife that love us. But they not only just love us, we're kinsmen. And God says, I wrote these names down so you remember that. So the next time you read the book of Romans chapter 16, you sit down and remember, that's my family. God wrote that down so I could remember my family here in my church. You see, these people have been very, very close. Look at verse number 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. You see, we have become closer than a family. And God wants us to know that. We're to salute one another. We're not talking about going and grabbing each other. It's a holy kiss. You know what a holy kiss is? It's a thought in your mind that I love this brother and I love this sister, and they're special to me. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's that reach out that's a person I truly love because they're part of my family, my church family. But that's just the beginning of chapter 16. Then it gets to the good part. Look at verse 17 through 19 with me real quick, like. Look at verse number 17. Now I beseech you, you have to worry about this. My My own, reading with one eye is just getting to be real fun in this days and age. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrines which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. God says simply about this, there's another reason why I'm so glad I'm a Christian. Because of the doctrines that the Bible teaches us and that we believe. It teaches you how to walk in faith. It teaches you what you ought to know from right and wrong. It teaches you, tells you how to mark and avoid those that do not believe what you believe so that you can walk the walk that God wants you to walk and be the Christian that God wants you to be. It just teaches you those things. We don't do that much today. We look at these people to see how to, and we can see how we can work together. But he says, you mark them that don't walk that way among you. What I'm saying to you, excuse me, I'm getting just a little ornery here because I can get a little ornery because I am old and ornery, so I can just get that way. There's a time. If we want our churches, you see, you want this guy to do it all. But as long as I'm here, he ain't going to have to do it all by himself because I got a book that tells me to mark them. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to be ornery and mean with them, but I'm to mark them. And I'm going to make sure that I don't follow after what they're doing. That's why you mark them. Because you're supposed to know, because you've read the first 15 chapters of Romans, you know what's right, and you know what you're supposed to be doing. And when you get over to chapter 16, and he's showing the family, he says, mark them. Oh, but we've got to be sweet and kind and lovely, and we're never supposed to say anything. Grow up. We're also supposed to have a little Christian backbone. We're also supposed to be able to stand for what we believe. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He says, mark them. That way we can serve in you together, because you can mark those that you're supposed to walk with, and you can keep yourself pure because you don't walk with the wrong ones. We tell our kids that all the time growing up, and we try to protect them from the ones that they shouldn't walk with and go with. We work that all the time. Well, it's the same in the church. You see, we don't have these little things at the door that when you walk in a church, it rings and goes off and says, that one's going to teach false doctrine. Oh, that one's okay. We don't have little alarms out there to say what's going on with this one and that one and what this one's thinking and what that one's not thinking. But we do have a Holy Spirit of God, and we have a Bible that says, read your Bible, check your Bible, and mark them. I used to love to scream in church. I've got old. I want to do it every once in a while again. I'm not lazy about it. It used to be one time I got so fired up at Fairview, I swung my leg up like that and caught on top of the pulpit. And then, leg ain't going anywhere near that anymore. You're safe. You're safe. But we need to, I'm glad I'm a Christian because of the doctrines. The doctrines that God has given us. We can see the right and wrong that's around us and understand those that could hurt us and watch over them. Have you noticed that we've been getting preaching that shows us the right things and the wrong things so very, very clearly? Now, why is he doing that? Oh, he's got a fill in the week and he likes to preach long, and so he's just doing that stuff. No, it's because that's what God's laid on his heart, to teach us that we might walk the way that Romans wants us to walk. And he's told us that. There are those that are out there to hurt us, and we need to understand this. Look at verse 19. For your obedience, that must mean we're growing together. For your obedience has come abroad to all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Now look what it says. This is such an important verse, hidden away in a chapter nobody reads a whole lot of. Look at what this verse says. But I would have you wise unto that which is what? Good, and simple unto that which is evil. That's what God wants us to do, isn't it? And that's what he says these things. He just simply say, we can grow together. We can become a bright testimony together. We can become a light in a dark world as we realize what is right and what is wrong as we stand, and as they see that in our lives and then can walk up to us. What a joy. As we were standing there today in a gym, and I was talking to those two black ladies, and they were asking me about how things were in Australia. And she asked me how I learned all the different languages. And I guess I could have been a smart lady and said, boy, I'm just a great at it. But I said, I used interpreters. A lady walked up to her and says, this is Pastor Schmidt. And when my husband died, he was right there at the emergency room to comfort me. She looked at those ladies and told those ladies that. You see, God wants us to have a testimony, because we know right from wrong, good from bad. And God will teach those things to us and give us a bright testimony and make us a light in a dark world. Right will prevail. We need to walk in it. But then look at verse number 20. See, I'm almost at the end of the chapter, and it's just getting close to time. As God and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet subtly, shortly, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Okay, first of all, I am so glad that I'm a Christian because of the brethren. Secondly, I'm so glad because of the doctrine. But of course, I'm so glad because of the main thing. Look at what we have for a Savior. Look who we have for a Savior. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Look who you have for a Savior. Look who's in control. Look who takes care of everything. He's the one who will take care of us, so we have the grace of God to take care of us, the one to take us through on our daily walk. Look what Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, a suffering, an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. I am thankful that I'm a Christian because of my Savior, the Savior that loves me. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 4:1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He is the one with the sufficient grace. Look at verse 20. He simply says this, and God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He simply said, he's the one in control. It's going to happen. The rapture may happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. He is in control. These people are talking. They're putting their bad mouth in Christianity. They're saying it's going to work. The one guy saying, your prayers are worthless. You don't need anything. The media was just, I don't know if you've been reading. The mainstream media has just been crucifying Christians about This poor transgender person that killed those, I'm sorry, she killed 3 9-year-olds. That's wicked. By the way, a very atheist biologist said the other day, there's not but two sexes, male and female. That's true. See, he's the one with sufficient grace, isn't he? Jesus alone. Paul the Apostle made it very clear to 2 Corinthians when he spoke about the thorn in the flesh. He besought God 3 times, but when God said, my grace is sufficient, he said, that's good enough for me. Is God's grace sufficient enough for you today? Paul's writing here, he says, verse number 20, he says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of God is sufficient, is it not? We have all that we need. I'm glad that I'm a Christian because of who is in charge and who can take care of me completely. He is sufficient for salvation. It's sufficient for everything. It's sufficient for eternity. I know where my name's written down. It's sufficient. Look at verse number 25. I'm going real quick. Look at verse 25. Now unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept in secret since the world began. He's the one that can establish you completely. Right here at Bethel Baptist. I'm so glad I'm a Christian because he can take completely care of you. 1 Thessalonians 3:13 says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. James 5:8, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So I'm glad that I'm a Christian because of the saints. I'm glad that I'm a Christian because of the doctrine. I'm glad that I'm a Christian because of the Savior. But look at verse number 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Can an old man just say something to you? I'm just glad because of you. I'm just glad because of you. What would our life be without each other? Aren't you glad for each other? I want to be like the Apostle Paul. And since I spent a lot of years in the Navy, I can do it. And I know an Air Force guy can do it too. I just want to salute you. I love my pastor. I love his dear wife. And this book of Romans chapter 16 tells me why. Because of you. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? It's worth it, isn't it? Just a bunch of names. Just a bunch of old names. But put there for a reason. Because to God you're special. And will be special. Let God use you this week. Let God use you in a special way. Let God just be the Christian that God will let you be. And he'll use you this week for his honor and glory. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you for this time.